Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff podcast, part of the Deviant Legion Network. Nice to have you with us for our Oscar Redux. Oh, boy, I'm just going to tell everyone, put on your seatbelts. And it's going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah, reflux. Absolutely, Stephen. So I would like to first introduce everyone. Of course, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you know my wonderful co-host, Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, nerd.
Jeez.
I mean, Rachel.
I've done that before.
Yes, you have. And that, my friends, is my former partner and good friend, Stephen Ronquillo. Stephen, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, we're glad to have Stephen. He's not feeling real well tonight, but he's here because we have Miss Vicky with us, the queen of science fiction, and just really angry about the Oscars, or at least she'll be telling us about that. So, Vicky, nice to have you with us.
Oh, hi, everyone, and thank you, guys, especially Stephen. Thank you for showing up. And hi, Rachel. Haven't talked to you in a long time. I think since Halloween. I think it was Halloween last
week.
Time.
Yeah. It's been quite a minute, and I just have to say I have missed your lovely, wonderful commentary and face on the show. So I am super excited that you're here today, especially because it's such a special day.
Yeah. Well, before we get to our subject.
Oh, and I want to say hi, Carl.
Okay.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you, Vicky, for asking me, and hi, Unicorn.
So before we start our Oscar Redux, I have a special presentation for Vicky. You see, today is Vicky's birthday, and she is now as old as I am. We're not going to say how old we are, but she gets
dinosaurs.
Special,
dirt,
special.
Just saying.
Exactly. Special song, and here we go. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vicky. Happy birthday to you and many more. Yay, happy birthday, Vicky.
Thank you. Look, I really appreciate that, everyone, and that saves me from having to delete that song on my phone.
Yes, because I always do that. I always leave that on your phone message.
Yes, and I listen to it all the way through, and I delete it after that. Okay.
So right now, we're going to start talking about the Oscars. And boy, we got a lot to talk about and a lot to process. So I'm going to start with Rachel. So Rachel, what did you think of the Oscars?
Me? What? Was there an award show or something? I guess I probably have to tear myself away from worrying about the Ukraine, the environmental crisis, the multiple massive recessions and or world-ending events that I've lived through in my 30-something years. Oh, yeah, sorry. I don't really watch award shows, guys. Like, I got a lot more to focus on right now than a bunch of millionaires patting each other on the back for a good job for some movie
patting
that I haven't seen. And you what?
Or patting
each
other on the
cheek. Is that what we're calling it now? Yeah, no, literally, if Will Smith had not have slapped Chris Rock so fucking hard, I wouldn't have even known that there was an award show happening that weekend.
Check that box. Yeah.
As, you know, people in my generation are so busy living through multiple crisis after crisis that none of us really seem to be focused on or caring about this, you know, attaboy club that they've got going in Hollywood, because frankly, none of the movies I like or watch are ever mentioned. And as far as I'm concerned, the biggest insult that happened during the awards show was the fact that apparently they said, animation, the category that kids love and adults have to endure. And then Amy Schumer said, the only one of these I've seen is Encanto because of my kid. And we know how I feel about animation and how it is like a really, that's the biggest insult as far as I'm fucking concerned. Like,
she
Chris
needs to
Rock
be slapped
and
for
Will
that.
Smith can, they can fuck right off with their drama.
The one that we were talking about, Flea, it's on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good adult animation about a Arab guy who basically escapes Tehran during Ayatollah's mess and ends up living his life outside of it, and him dealing with his culture and what he finds out that he likes later in his life.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank God for Hulu, because they have some really good stuff that you wouldn't find elsewhere. I really like Hulu, by the way.
I've found a lot of the animation that I want to watch on Hulu. And again, I'm a huge fan of animation, not just the kids kind, because, there's this whole, genre of adult animation. I showed my parents just for the actual animation, not even the story. I showed my parents snippets of Love, Death, and Robots this morning.
Oh,
and I was like, how did this not get all the fucking awards? This is why I don't care about award shows, because things like that, no, they get nothing. And Encanto was great, but I'm going to tell you, there was about 20 other movies that came out this year, even in just the kids category, that could have stomped it into the ground.
Oh, speaking of In Death and Robots, Rachel, have you seen the movie that the guy who did Love, Death, and Robots did that's on Shudder now?
No.
You don't? Haven't seen The Spine of Night yet?
No, I have not.
Well, it's a cross between old-school 70s Ralph Bakshi rotoscoping Conan-type adventure animation movie from that guy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And Barry Bonds.
What's it called again? Say it one more time.
The Spine of Night.
S-P-I-N-E. The Spine of Night.
Night.
Yeah, night like after sun.
The opposite of morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there's two different nights, There's the knight in armor, Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. So Rachel, is there anything else you want to say before we pass it on to Vic?
I mean, if I could just, recap TLDR, Academy Awards.
really kept off Rachel. This is the first year I didn't watch any of the Oscars except for a few clips, which we'll get into later. I didn't watch any of it.
Neither did I. So Vicky, it's on to you. First thoughts of what happened during the Oscars, whatever you want to bring up.
Okay, this is my third year of ignoring the Oscars, because the last year that I watched it, not only was it a gigantic waste of time, not only did the wrong people win the wrong awards, it was boring, 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 and I promised myself never to waste my precious life on that bullshit ever again. So I didn't, and dang it, man, I wish I would have just watch the opening number, huh? Then I could have seen the atrocity that happened. Atrocity. Atrocity. Okay. For only 2.5 more months will I be a teacher in a high school. I teach 15-year-old boys and girls. And in the past 4 to 5, 6 years, they've become more and more violent. Okay, so the first thing that really crossed my mind on Monday morning when I started all the tweets and all the Facebook and all the video, seeing what happened between Chris Rock and Will Smith, the first thing I did think of was what is the reaction of the boys, especially in my classes, because we just went through this training and this thing on school that if somebody hits you, no matter if they come up running behind you and hit you, smack you down, knock your stuff everywhere, you are not allowed to retaliate, okay? And the boys are really upset about this, as were the girls and a lot of us adults, okay? So here we're watching this grown man who's a millionaire, like Rachel said, a multi-millionaire. Every time I turn on the Disney Channel, there's his fucking face. And he's Mr. Apple Pie, but not really.
Role model.
Yeah,
exactly.
But not really when you start examining that he's hit people before. And he's a very violently aggressive speaker, too. Okay, so anyway, I just was really upset that nobody stood up, not the L.A. police, whose job it is to uphold the California statutes. There's a penal code for this. When somebody touches you in an aggressive way, assault and maybe battery, okay? And it's up to the law enforcement, not the victim, to press charges. Quick story, I have a friend who was beat up by her husband. I called the cops on him because it was happening at the moment. The cops came. She refused to press charges. The cops stood in and said, I'm pressing charges against you. So I know in California, the cops, the law enforcement can press charges. It's not up to the victim. So here we are. And I teach mostly, I'm the only white person in most of my classes. So I teach children of color. And if any of them did something like that out on the street and the cops saw them or an adult pressed charges against them, their lives would be ruined, totally frickin' juvenile hall ruined. And this guy that Disney loves so much, that we all think saved the world because he smokes a cigar and blows up aliens, we say it's okay. We're making too big of a deal about Will Smith smacking the hell out of Chris Rock. We are not making enough of a deal of it. And that's, I'm extremely angry. I live in California, unlike the rest of you, and I am extremely angry about this whole situation. So that's the gist of me, of my thing.
I'll talk about this to Carl, but Vicki and Rachel, do you guys remember Dimebag Darrell?
Yes, I do.
I remember
exactly where I was the day he was murdered. I was working my shift at Carino's, and
right.
We had the bar
how
on at the TV.
How was he killed, Rachel?
Yeah. Huh?
How was he killed, Rachel?
He was murdered in a really violent incident while he was playing a show.
Yeah,
somebody decided that they were mad.
Jumped up on stage and shot him.
Yeah.
So basically, Will Smith has just given permission to every idiot with half a brain out there that if someone famous has insulted them in one way or another, it's all right to go up on stage and do physical violence against that person.
And California said it was okay. We're not going to prosecute them if they're millionaires and famous.
And I have to say this because it reminded me of a point when you were talking, Vicki, and since you asked both Vicki and my opinion on this, Stephen, I do have to agree here with what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said this morning.
Oh, yeah,
he put out
I got that
really,
in front of me.
Really interesting piece. So maybe you can help me quote from some of it because, like I said, I'm still picking burgers.
Well, Kareem, first off, let's just say about Kareem. Kareem has had his share. He's never been violent. He's never been a bad guy. But people have ripped him apart, calling him this and that Middle East because he's got the name, right? He has endured his entire career. People dissing him, making jokes of him, saying things of him, even though he holds so many different basketball records, and he's a freaking genius, and he is so cool. So I just want to say that before you start.
And he is well-spoken. I mean, this is quite a think piece.
Gentleman.
And this is one of the things that, you know, a lot of people aren't bringing up, but if you want to go there, like he says, there's so many things to unpack here. One of which is the fact that not only did Will Smith do a disservice to people of color and to, you know, I mean, just a whole fucking movement at this point, because there's a lot of people out there that are screaming about, you know, the violence inherent in those of color and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Well, you didn't do a whole lot to help the movement, buddy. I don't like that. But what really gets me that nobody's talking about is the fact that, I'm sorry, but I have lived my entire life, and I remember when he got married to Jada Pinkett Smith, because the whole world was like, oh, my God, he off the market now. That's horrible. What does this say about feminism? I have grown up with Jada Pinkett Smith being a no-nonsense, hold no bars, holds no punches, fucking badass. And she needs her husband to come defend her with violence over what, yes, may have been a joke in poor taste, and I'm not even going to defend him and say, well, he may not have known that she had alopecia. I sure as shit didn't, but
you know what?
I'm not.
I don't even think it was a joke in poor taste. So many times I've heard jokes in poor taste on that very stage at the Oscars. Ricky Gervais, let's just say his name. That joke could have been taken as also as a, hey, you're not diminished by your short hair in Hollywood. You're not. You're empowered. You could go play another G.I. Jane, which was a feminist empowerment film.
Well, it was supposed to be, yeah. And I totally get that. And that's the thing is, like, Jada Pinkett Smith is no wilting fucking flower, okay?
Right.
She doesn't need somebody to defend her. And I think that she was honestly doing the appropriate thing. Yeah, she was, you know, shooting some dirty looks his way, but that's how you roll with things like this. It's the freaking Oscars.
Have you seen the uncut version? She was shooting her husband. Will Smith was laughing at the joke until Jada Pinkett looked at him and shot him, dirty husband.
I know, and that's the thing, is, like, he was laughing along. And when I saw it, before I saw Will Smith, you know, walk up and slap the fuck out him, I saw Will Smith laughing, and I heard the joke. I didn't know she had alopecia, so I was like, dude, he was saying, like, you're looking good. I want to see you in this movie. Like, you're rocking the fucking shaved head, just like Demi Moore did when she did the original G.I. Jane. And that's how I took it. Like, you're rocking the shaved head, girl. Keep on. And
I know.
Apparently, that's not how it was intended, but I don't know. I mean, Chris Rock hasn't spoke out, and frankly, I don't care that hard. But, I mean, there's
I don't
so
think
many
he needs
things.
To.
There's
yeah,
so many things
already,
wrong with this.
Raised his fee for going to clubs, which he's playing Saturday, three times.
He's playing one tonight.
Normal amount.
Yeah, he's playing a club in Boston tonight.
Yeah,
and everybody's like super,
because
they're like, oh, he's going to talk about it. Oh, he's going to talk about it. And I'm like, no, what I want to see from Chris Rock here is I want to see him be just as fucking classy as he was on the night of the Oscars when he got slapped in the fucking face on, you know, international television. It wasn't just the national thing. People all over the world were watching this shit. And he, honest to God, I never thought I'd say this about Chris Rock, but that man, he handled it with a lot of grace.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. I agree with that. I appreciate the fuck out of that, but I think this whole thing is a bunch of big drama and a bunch of big talking points, and it's really distracting us from the stuff that we need to be talking about right now. But anyway, we all need those distractions once in a while.
Well, the way to describe Will Smith is I could bring up the word, and the word is cuckold.
Ooh, yeah. No, I see
good
that
word.
100%.
Because
I've
they
seen
have
him.
An open marriage, and Jada Pinkett Smith brags about how many men she's had since they've been married. You see Will Smith doing that? Have you ever even seen him mentioned in any of those interviews? One woman. I mean, just one.
And why should we know this shit anyway? I don't want to know it. I don't.
Yeah, that's
that,
their business.
That's where I'll be
humiliating
going.
Will Smith.
I mean, that's exactly it. Is I don't keep up with any of this. So again, I don't either.
Yeah,
I legitimately didn't know she had all
over the internet. If you
why
know,
why do they want us to care? Why do they want us to care about that?
Well,
because
they did a photo shoot before the Oscars of her with her shaved head, and guess what they labeled the photo shoot pictures?
What?
Controversy.
What?
So
I have worked 15 years with a woman.
Their book.
You know, there is no controversy. I've worked 15 years with a woman who has had her head shaved for the past 12 years because she has the same condition. No one thinks anything, okay? The whole thing is only there for these people to either cry pity on me or to show what kind of person they really are on the inside. And I think it shows that Jada and Will deserve each other because on the inside, they're kind of ugly people. That's what it showed me.
And it brings up a question. I'm going to ask you this, Carl. See, you can help me answer this. Why is it that those of us who are born disabled don't go on these pity party triads for what they have to them? 90% of the time, it's usually the ones who are born normal, then get disabled, who go, why me? Why was I there? Feel bad for me because I was normal once.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot to that, okay? If I can come in for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead, Carl.
See, the thing about being disabled and with me, you can't even tell. So I don't really consider myself disabled. But of all the people I know, it's like the one thing they don't want is they don't want people, particularly physically handicapped people, they don't want people to pity them because they can't walk or they're in a wheelchair or they have, you know, it's all about coping. It's all about I'm going to do this no matter what. And there's this attitude that you're going to get through it. And it makes a very strong person in terms of – and so one of the things we really don't like in film, and Stephen and I will get to this. If he doesn't get to it, I will when we talk about Coda, is this white savior or this hearing savior in the terms of Coda, because Coda, that particular film – the parents are hearing impaired, but the point of view is all about their daughter who can hear, and she goes and she does all the work for them and interpreting and that. And that's not the way it is in real life. And it's those type of things that really rile me at points. You know
what?
You know
you didn't
the thing
like
about
that movie because you don't think it's real life.
I think it's
condescending.
Thank you, Stephen.
What,
when they're
Coda
trying
is condescending?
To depict, like when they're trying
I
to depict
people,
something
I
real life.
I know this in real life. Okay, I know this. This year I have been a co-teacher for things I can't talk about because they're private. But I have all kinds of different disabilities in my classrooms now. And I see this in many different ways, but I didn't see the film. So you're saying the film was condescending and that people who have these difficulties will find the film unrealistic?
Yeah. Yeah, because they have what he's talking about is that they never go 200%. Like, only murders in the building. They have a deaf character in the movie, and they
right.
do a whole episode from his point of view, and there's no sound in that episode because it's from the deaf person's point of view.
Yeah.
Coda is focused on the person who is not deaf experience rather than the deaf people. And that guy did give a great performance, and yes, he did deserve to win Best Supporting Oscar. But I hope it's that's the reason they voted for him, and not because, look at you, you're a deaf person, and you acted in a movie. Here's
your
Look
how good you did, puppy.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like what you guys are trying to say is, like, not that the movies. Unrealistic movies are inherently unrealistic. It's when you're trying to portray something realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Coda, it's a serious movie. It's not a fantasy. It's not a sci-fi. I don't think there's any like magic or ghosts or any shit like that. It's legitimate, real-life deaf people, and it's focusing on, instead of, you know, the deaf people in the movie that the movie I thought was about, because I haven't seen it, and I've just heard all the buzz, and apparently I thought it was about deaf people, but it's not. It's about their hearing savior.
Yeah,
and
the daughter
exactly.
can't hear. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's not realistic in the sense that that's not how actual deaf people in the actual real world go about being deaf. I know that sounds a little odd, but one of my dear close friends is actually a teacher at the Arkansas School for the Deaf, and she coaches a Special Olympics swim team and all that, so she has experience with blind and deaf students, and just having known this woman for the past few years, it's really changed my perspective of how deaf people get along in the world. And so now when I see movies where there's supposedly deaf people in there, I'm like, that's not really how it works. But okay. And like, I grew up with one of my mom's closest friends was a blind woman, and I'm talking full on 100% born blind. And I've always, you know, kind of irked a little bit when I see people wrongly guiding the blind and stuff in movies, because I know for a fucking fact they will tell you exactly where to hold their arm, exactly how to do this, exactly how to do that. Like, they
yeah.
have to, and you never see that. You don't see that realism in movies like Coda, which apparently was still a really great movie and guy for winning the awards and all that, but yeah, it's not going to get more realistic until we have more people like that acting in these films so that they can give their real experience. And
what's
that's another reason.
The most realistic picture I've ever seen about being disabled is, it's in the early 90s. If you want to, Carl, look at the date, is the water dance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I've seen that one.
Well, do you remember River's Edge, or have you ever heard of that movie?
Yes.
Well, the writer of that was riding a bike after he made River's Edge, and he had a horrible accident in the woods, end up breaking his three upper lumbar, leaving him paralyzed from the neck down for life. And he wrote this movie called The Water Dance, based on his experiences at his rehabilitation hospital.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look into that now.
Yeah. And the original title of the movie, which they wouldn't let him keep because that's what they called their ward since it's the wheelchair ward, all the guys in there called it Muff Level.
Oh, Jesus.
Because that was their level of sight in the wheelchair.
Yep. Well, I personally do not have any debilitating disabilities that I was born with other than, you know, mental issues, but that's a different show.
You're disabled as the rest, though. I consider that condescending when they say, oh, she's not disabled. She just has mental issues.
Yeah,
well,
it can.
Yeah,
and in
your family
like
the rest of them.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I want to get this back on track a little bit.
Yeah.
If we can. Okay,
Stephen,
we haven't yet heard from you about certain things about the Oscars. So tell me one thing that really ticked you off or that you liked or whatever the case would be.
No, it's just what I like because I didn't watch any of it except for – I always watch the In Memoriam every year. To be prepared, like, okay, how am I going to get PO'd this year? And this year, they got it right. I was shocked. Every name that deserved to be on that In Memoriam list was there. They had Buddy Joe Hooker, a stuntman. They had Betty White and that cute little doggy, which I would love to have for Mom. And they had... everyone you would think they wouldn't have on there. Sonny Chiba, Max Julian. I mean, it was just surprising that they actually got it right this year when it comes to there. But the music.
Oh, let me do this
tell
one.
You my favorite In Memoriam music. This woman came out with a single guitar and played Vincent by Don McLean while the picture shown. With the In Memoriam, you need to keep it simple. Am I right, people? Keep the music simple. And that's not getting any music snob territory, which Carl did. Just keep it simple and somber. You don't
need a
Southern choir coming out there singing Spirit in the Sky by Norman Greenbaum.
No, I have been waiting for Carl's commentary on the music from this one since, like, Sunday night. So, yes, Carl, please tell me. Please get music snobby with me, please. Go the fuck off.
Okay, so I happen to agree with Stephen as far as who they presented. And by the way, it was Buddy Van Horn who's the stuntman.
Yeah, Buddy Van Horn.
But the music was truly inappropriate. And it's not because of what they sang. And it's not because it was gospel. But it's because what they sang in a gospel way would never be what they would do at a memorial service or at a funeral. Because I can tell you by coming to black churches, okay, of which I've done many times, that when they have something like that, it's more like bringing in the sheaves. It's more like steal away. It's more spirituals. It's much more somber. And trust me, a gospel choir
can be somber. It depends on the personality, but you're right. And plus, I said, keep it simple, right, Carl?
Right, but also... the choreography, the choreography was all wrong. No. Whoever decided to do the choreography, whoever decided to do all of that in an In Memoriam section of the Oscars. It was so discombobulated. I mean, it just...
Yeah, I was wondering if half of them, Carl, let me finish, were dancing, or were they trying to wipe dog shit off the bottom of their shoes?
I think probably both. it was not good. And it made my head hurt because it just was so incongruous. It was just so incongruous. Okay, I'm done. And I was very reserved there, I want you to know.
Oh, yeah. You had some things to say earlier this week that were pretty scathing.
Yes. Yes. Stephen,
to go
is
back
there
to a little
anything
like
else
saying,
you want to talk about before I start?
The big point. Where the fuck were the security? They said, oh, we had security, and we told him to leave, but he wouldn't. What do you think security is? You've been to Monster Bash. They got skinny and fat, out-of-shape guys doing their security, and they are on point.
Yeah. Because I thought that whole, like, security thing was supposed to be, you know, if you're a security guy, you may not have to be the biggest dude out there, because seriously, one of my friends is a security dude, and he's, like, 5'3", but he can toss men twice his size like they're fucking rag dolls. Like, he is the most least intimidating motherfucker I've ever seen, except for all his crazy tattoos. But no, he can bounce you, like the name implies. And so I thought that's why they were called bouncers, is if somebody refuses to leave, you pick them up and bounce them on their ass out the door. That's not how we do this.
I mean, that would have been punishment enough in my eyes. He won the Best Actor Oscar, but didn't get to accept it because he was acting a fool.
See, that's me. Like, I'm all about the punishment fitting the crime. And, I mean, legitimately, legally, there was actually a fucking crime that was perpetrated. But also, I think that would have been fine if they had just kicked him out like they were supposed to, and he couldn't accept his ward and make that stupid, stupid, hypocritical speech he did. That would have been fine. This would not have been a controversy for me. And frankly, it's still really not. But since we're talking about it, I'll put my 2 cents in. No lie.
And I want to say, as an older person, every time Will Smith has gotten tough, like when he tried to be a thug rapper in the early 90s, it's been hilarious.
Well, yeah, and I mean, part of that is because he's known for his relatively quick wit and his, you know, exceedingly weird charm. And
no, it's because he's clearly one of the whitest black people out there. That's why he's gotten all the thing. He appeals to a white demographic. He was the safe
Black man. He's our safe token as white people, okay?
Who was it that died this year? Sidney Poitier. And he said that he hated this term because he got labeled with it. The safe black man.
Mm-hmm.
And how much did Sidney Poitier hate that term, Carl?
Oh, a lot. A lot. And if you take a look at Sidney Poitier's later films, particularly in the 70s and late 60s, Virgil Tibbs and that, he was angry, and you could tell, and it came through, and that's some of his best work. It really is.
But he was angry in a way
go ahead.
I feel like he was angry in a more appropriate way. Like, he was taking these roles that could really showcase why he was so fucking angry, and really, you know, showing his prowess as not only an actor but as a person. And that's really how I feel like at this point, if you're going to be in Hollywood, this is how you can affect change, is you can pick these roles that really highlight, like, you can use your celebrity to make a fucking difference.
I mean, we see what kind of a fucking difference just slapping somebody in the face has done. What kind of difference would these people make if they all banded together and made like a really serious effort to, I don't know, actually help the world and not just help themselves and heap more drama upon, well, something that doesn't need any more of that to begin with?
You know,
yeah,
everybody
at the Oscars Sunday had stood up and just turned their back away from Will Smith when he won an Oscar and not said a word, not clap, not applauded, just stand there and turned their back to him and started looking towards there like when Elia Kazan got his Oscar. Right, Carl?
Right.
Yeah, but I forgot.
Sorry.
So, okay. So I haven't had my say yet. I want to take a couple minutes and just give you a little thoughts here. So my whole thing about the Oscars, and this is particularly pointed to Vicky, because when I was growing up, I loved the Oscars, and I loved movies. And there has been a point that they've been losing audience, and they've lost interest. Both Vicky and I could care less. And the question is, why do you think that? Okay.
1994.
But, okay, well, whatever the date would be, let me go on. The thing here is you got to think, why is that? And there's a number of reasons for that. But one of the main reasons why I have lost interest in the Oscars is because it seems like they don't want the regular people in anymore. Or it's something like that where it's become such a millionaire's club. And there's this sense that we're better than you know, and our thoughts are better and we can do what we want and we can talk about politics and we can do all this stuff and we can bitch about everything. What the fuck does a movie star really, really know about politics and this sort of thing? And it's like, you know, they're the voice of God, and the press just bangs it out with them and so on and so forth. This is why we got a TV person as president, one of the worst we've ever had. And it's this sense that there's this entitlement in the entertainment. And it does bother me. It doesn't, you know, the stuff that I love and the stuff that I care about in film is not the big grossing or the ones that are Oscar bait or the ones, it's the ones that I discovered that are under the radar. And of course we do that a lot with ISF and the small people that put out the films with love and that sort of thing. But it's just this thing that the whole entertainment industry has divorced itself from people like me who used to love it. And I still don't really realize or understand why that is. Now, I want to give everybody a chance here to try to answer that question. Why is there this disconnect? Rachel, we'll start with you.
Well, I think the disconnect really starts, and I know I keep blaming stuff on us, but I think the disconnect really starts with my generation. When more people, you know, more women especially, because let's be honest, the Academy Awards are really, really like, I'm one of the prime demographics that they're trying to get. And they're trying to get younger viewers. Like, I'm a 36-year-old mom, which means that I'm supposed to be sitting home at night and, like, waiting for the award shows and the pretty dresses to come on the TV. But since, you know, maybe a little bit before my time, women have started going out into the workforce and doing things and not having all of this time to sit around and be as frivolous, I guess. And like I said, it was really the late 80s and early 90s when the award show started kind of getting really shitty. And I mean shitty in the sense that, yeah, you've you've got all of these comics that are making really horrible jokes about people, and everybody's just supposed to laugh and clap it off. Yay, that's how it goes. But in my generation, you know, everybody likes to joke that we grew up with participation medals and shit, which I did not, by the way. We grew up with all of that angry humor and all of that aggression, and it's like, dude, can't we just, like, get the fuck along? I mean, I really feel like we're going through another fucking hippie era, because it's like, I don't want to see this angry, horrible, like, it's funny to make fun of people kind of shit. I find lots of horrible things funny, but I don't want to see that in real life. I don't want you making fun of these people in real life. That's just fucking mean. And you know, we were taught not to be so mean to everybody. And it's really disconcerting to see that and see that that is accepted as the norm. And so, yeah, like, it's really off-putting because, again, there's, like, so many humanitarian and earth-centered and just, fuck, even just as far as, like, my neighborhood unit of things that I worry about more than whether or not some millionaire celebrity is going to literally get another gold trophy that they're, you know, going to give to their maid's baby or something to chew on. Like, I got to worry about what's going on right now, and that's not it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's give it to Vic. Why do you think there's this disconnect in terms of viewership and just caring about what the hell the Oscars is doing?
Well, I think that it's a threefold problem. For one thing, the older generation, like my mom's generation, the Oscars just go on too long, okay? They were part of the golden age of film. And yes, they're all starting to pass away, and they're getting very old, and they can't watch a show that's so self-aggrandizing as the Oscars have become. It used to be glamour, and it used to be smiles, and it used to be kind of this celebration of look at these are the people that we watch in these films. And they make us feel good, and this show makes us feel good. So that's why the older generation, the oldest generation right now, the boomers, they're not interested in it because they've left them behind. They don't even acknowledge their existence. Then it comes down to Gen X. Gen X computers, okay? You can have a couple of different things going on, and while somebody's giving some long-ass speech about how grateful they are to this guy and this woman and this dog and this cat and this and this and this, okay, again, it goes on too long. And so people my age, your age, we find it boring because we have so many other things. And we're the ones who are in the jobs, working, working, working. We're the professionals in life, and we don't have time for this kind of bullshit. We're not millionaires. And sure, we like to look at the dresses, and we like to look at the men in their suits, and we like all that stuff. But 3 hours of Oscar red carpet, and then three more hours of films. Let's see the clips. Let's see who you think it went. But we also know this, that a bunch of white people sit around watching these films. Only special films go to them, and those are the ones chosen, voted on, and then chosen. We know this stuff now. We didn't know it before, but the internet opened this all up. So as more and more knowledge to the back end of Oscars, to our generation, started seeping out, and we started understanding why our favorite films weren't there, or why our favorite films that were of the six or seven or eight chosen, why our film didn't get chosen. And all the advertising and the hype and the money under the table that goes into who gets the Oscar, you know, Will Smith didn't even deserve the Oscar this year. I saw most of those men perform, and I say he stole it from Denzel. So fuck them.
Don't mention
okay,
the play. Don't mention the name of the movie because it'll curse this podcast.
So anyway, then the younger generation, you know, Rachel really spelled it out. You know, my son and I are in the process of making a feature film, and we could care less. My son is going to be 30 years old, my youngest son. He's going to be 30 years old this year, and he could care freaking less about what those jerks that won't share their money, their experience, their connections to help us get our film out there. He could care less. He would hope the whole thing ended in a brawl and everyone went to jail. So those, it's a threefold thing. That's it, my pyramid.
And I want to say that I absolutely 100% agree with you right there, Vicki, especially like you mentioned that, you know, it used to be glamorous. Like you want to see the dresses, you want to see the smiles, you want to see the interviews. Well, guess what? You know what I did today? I looked at every single red carpet outfit and read some of the interviews from it without having to watch the whole fucking show because I read really fast. I read faster than these people can talk, and I'm also a seamstress and really into fashion and designing, so I can scan through those dresses in like a fucking heartbeat. I don't have to watch 6 hours of the Oscars. I've got the fucking internet, and I guarantee you within 6 to 12 hours of that show airing, which I was busy while it was playing anyway, within 6 to 12 hours, if that fucking long, I will have a full rundown of every single fucking thing that happened there. And I can pick and choose which information I want. I don't have to sit there because I hate advertisements. I don't have to sit there with the advertisements that I don't want to see. That's why I stream everything and don't have cable.
I don't even watch commercials. Fuck your commercials, you advertising bastards. I don't watch that stuff, and that's why I stream. And I do pay the premium price, the extra $5, $2, $3, because that is just the biggest bullshit in America. But that's another show. Glad you mentioned
exactly.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I wanted to agree with you there, like, whole fucking heartedly. I am with you 100%, and I am a perfect example of that, because that is what I spent part of my afternoon doing was, you know, I knew we were going to do this show tonight, but that's what I want to see from the Oscars. I don't care about the movies that win, because I don't care about any of the movies that typically get nominated. I watch weirder shit than that.
Yep, same here.
I do want to see some pretty-ass dresses, which I will say, last thing I have to say about the show for this evening is not impressed with the fashion designers this year. What the hell? Anyway, all these drop waisted and plea plum ball gowns. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Anyway, that's the end of my rant.
All right. So I want to give it to Stephen for any last complaints, and I've got one that hasn't been mentioned yet. So go ahead, Stephen.
Okay. The disconnect really started in 1979 when Ordinary People won over everything else. That's when we smelled bullshit. And then we got to go into 1990 when Dances with Wolves beat Goodfellas. No.
Oh,
no.
I remember that. I was a kid. Like, I was kindergarten. And I remember that upset. That was not
in 1994. Here's the three classics that everyone still watches today and loves. One, Ed Wood. Most people consider that Tim Burton's best film. Two, Pulp Fiction. A classic, and it really did change the direction of the 90s, but that's not good enough to make best film. And three, the film that was voted best film on IMDb, the AFI did it. It was voted best film of the 90s. The Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Didn't win. What won? Life is like a box of chocolates, and if you're a Republican, you're going to be wanking to this movie until the day you die. Forrest Gump. Once they screwed up big with that, oh, and Hoop Dreams, too.
Oh, yeah. You and I.
I forgot that movie even existed. What the hell?
What?
Not even nominated. Not even fucking nominated that year.
Yeah, and it was like number one, I think, on the critics' polls. They was expecting it to be the first documentary to get Best Picture nod, but didn't. No.
Yeah.
So us and Gen X got burnt out on the Oscars in the 90s, and we should be the generation that are worshiping the Oscars right now, but we're not because they have burnt us too many times with their bad picks.
Exactly. They burnt you guys. And that's why my generation doesn't care. Like, they burnt you guys so bad that you're the ones that kind of raised my generation. And, we just don't care about it because you guys got so screwed. Like, why am I going to invest in this?
Yeah, and the fan awards. Hey, Vicky, guess what the most loved film by fans was this year?
What was it?
What is
and
it?
Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Oh, you know, I saw that. I saw it. I didn't know exactly what. I'm like, what? Who won it? I mean, I know the movie and everything, but I didn't know who nominated it and who made it number one. So
they just picked four things out of their ass. They picked Spider-Man.
Right.
What was it? Justice League. Army of the Dead.
Justice
and
League.
And possible write-in vote. And Army of the Dead won.
Yeah, people love that movie, though. So average people loved that movie. It was number one for how many weeks, you know, when they were running it?
Yeah, but average people don't do the online polls. It's the Zack Snyder Army. Zack Snyder won Best Moment, too, for the Flash Enters the Speed Force moment in Justice League. And no one at the Oscars literally gave a crap. So you're right. Care about what everyone loves and watches. If they did, like I said, Goodfellas would have won. Shawshank Redemption or Pulp Fiction would have won Best Picture.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, there's so many movies like that that I've had the opportunity to watch in my life. Because I do seek out movies that I'm like, how did this not at least get a nod? I mean, not even to just not be nominated, but not even given a nod. Because I do remember seeing clips from, you know, earlier award shows where they'd be like, hey, and just to give a shout out to those that didn't actually make it to the ballot tonight, there were a few other really great movies this year that should have been here. Like, I've seen that happen, just not really in my time. I think it would have been a much bigger deal if somebody had been gracious enough to say something like that. And I think that's really where a big part of my disconnect also comes from is I want to see the award shows like they had back in the day where everybody was, you know, gracious and really genuine about, like, this is really an accomplishment and thank you so much. But we don't have that anymore. Everybody's just a misanthropic shit anymore. So, like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Just think about it, Vicky. Did Star Wars get nominated for Best Picture, Vicky?
Of course not.
Did Jaws get nominated for Best Picture?
I think they probably feel bad that they didn't nominate it, but yeah, it didn't.
I mean, there's just so many movies that are bent stones that should have at least gotten nods.
At least got, you know, when they do those sometimes they do the movies we love at the Oscars and they show clips and everything. They show clips of those movies. Like they did one the last time I watched the Oscars or something like the Oscars, they did some kind of movie reel. Maybe they were giving a special award to Spielberg or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I just remember Jaws coming up and everybody clapping. Woo! Jaws! Yeah! Yay! You know, but you don't – when somebody – when Will Smith wins the Oscar for Best Actor, people just clap. You don't hear the audience or the people in the balcony that they feed breadcrumbs to. Let them eat cake up there. As they eat shrimp and giant strawberries with chocolate, blah, 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 champagne flowing and drinks and blah,
like
blah.
$10,000 goodie bags of shit backstage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't even, you know, the average person doesn't even know that everybody that goes to the Oscars, those millionaires get goodie bags that they get to take home, that advertisers and studios and all kinds of people give to them. You know, they get free Cheez-Its, you know? But we don't. We never get free Cheez-Its.
I want free cheese, okay? I want free cheese.
Oh,
I want free
Carl,
cheese.
Let's talk about the one that really pisses you off that, I mean, I don't like Terrence Malick, but in that year, how pissed off were you when Saving Private Ryan beat The Thin Red Line?
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Can I? I think you guys will be so proud of me. I have never once seen Saving Private Ryan, and I plan to continue that.
Watch Sam Fuller's The Big Red One. It's a better version of that movie.
You know, but,
well,
but seriously.
I like Thin Red Line. I think it's very artistic. I really like it because how do you and I don't know what it's like laying on a battlefield dying. And a billion people have done that throughout humanity. And Malick took the camera and he took the perspective of somebody wounded on the battlefield looking up at the trees, blowing in the wind and the sun coming through it. That's my favorite moment in that movie because it was like this moment of, you know, above all this shit, all this human, just terrible cruelty, it's still just normal. That freaking movie should have won tons of awards.
Absolutely. And Steven is right that I was very angry because with Spielberg, and you know this, we've gone through this, Vicky, several times. I feel Spielberg basically grabs you by the pubic hairs and tells you what to think and how to feel. And that was that, and it's that type of manipulation. Whereas with Malick in that particular film, he, you know, you were left to your own devices to decide what was right and what was wrong. You know, and however you felt that way. Now, I'm going to go somewhere else now because this is a big thing for me that I have a real problem. Okay, so you had an Oscar ceremony that when it was all said and done was 3.5 hours. They decided to cut certain things out of the Oscar, including editing, including various awards, and they cut out the Lifetime Achievement Award for Samuel L. Jackson. And these are
what?
The things I want to watch.
Wait, what? They didn't show that on the broadcast? What?
No.
They didn't even show clips of the Governor's Awards this year, from what I heard.
No, no clips at all.
And so what did
no
they fill it with?
So that's the whole point. There was a whole thing of a tribute to Disney. Okay?
Oh, God. What a pandering
okay,
bunch of assholes.
Guess what? Disney owns ABC. Who did it? Guess what?
Oh,
another thing. When they went out, and they did the best animated film. Guess who presented it? Three Disney princesses to Encanto, which is a Disney-owned Pixar.
You all right, Carl? You sound worse than I did at the first of the show.
He's just getting wild up right now. He's pissed about this.
You know, but the whole point is the things I want to see, they didn't show. And what did they show? Crap.
Yeah.
Right. And again, the thing that I would be tuning in for as an adult would be the animation and the fact that they so heavily belittled it and passed by it and really made a mockery of the category because their choices were just fucking ridiculous. Again, Encanto, great movie. Whole family loves it. Awesome. Yeah, we don't talk about Bruno and, you know, pressure and all that shit. It's great. It's wonderful. But there were so many things that came out last year. I mean, fuck. There was season two of Love, Death, and Robots, for Christ's sake. And it's just ridiculous to me that none of the stuff that people are actually watching, because I keep an eye on these things.
What about Phil Tippett?
What?
What about Phil Tippett? Carl knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
He didn't even get nominated for Mad God. A film, a stop-motion animation film that he's been working on ever since he worked on Aliens.
I know. And that's the thing. It's so fucking ridiculous because I do have kids, but my kids have a little bit more progressive tastes for the most part. So, yeah, like, we watch a lot of weird animation, and I just, it upset me more than anything when I saw that and confirmed that, yeah, they made such a mockery of the animation category. I was like,
they
wow.
They made bad choices. Yeah, very bad choices. Flea and Encanto were the only ones that I would have put on there. Where was the place for The Spine of Night, even to get a nod, or Mad God?
By the way, just so you know, there's a, I saw this today, they announced that Mad God is going to be on Shudder.
Nice.
Yeah, tell me about it. So if you take a look at what, you know, a number of my people and film enthusiasts, what are we interested in? We're interested in the editing and the cinematography awards. And all this, was cut. And so, you know, and it's cut because we want to bring in a new audience. Well, you're losing everybody by doing this.
Nobody cares
about awards anymore.
They are forgetting that the audience that they lost with Generation X, Carl, we are the ones who are training the millennials who are serious about films. What is good about movies?
What I said earlier is like your generation got screwed by the awards, and so instead of watching awards, we spent our time watching weird shows and movies with our parents instead.
Yeah.
Because I never watched the awards because my mom didn't, but I have heard her talk about, you know, seeing them back in the day when it was glamorous and wonderful and beautiful.
And there were three channels.
Right, and if I'm not gonna get that out of this like bazillion dollar, you know, circle jerk, then I don't want to see it. Like, we've always known it was a millionaire circle jerk. Okay, even when you were kids back in the day, it was just a circle jerk, and you know that. Everybody's always known that, but at least they used to hide it better.
Well, you know, they had class. I mean, take a look at the people back in the 70s, back in the 60s, who were the hosts? Johnny Carson, Bob Hope. You know, granted, they were of the older generation, but there was a sense of glamour, of appreciation of their
even
status.
Even when Billy Crystal
was a millionaire now.
Right.
No
Billy
one,
Crystal.
Right. But no one now who is a host has a real appreciation of where they are and why they are and has any type of humility at all that they can share that humility with the people that watch. You know, that's a real problem. Would you agree with that, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, really,
100%.
Sitting on an Oscar and saying this out loud, knowing that it might get on air, you keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah, no class.
I mean, I've literally heard my redneck neighbors yelling shit like that in drunken brawls in the middle of the night. Like, that was one of the lowest class, trashiest things I think I've seen in a long ass time, and it makes me really sad that it was by somebody that I kind of looked up to for a really long time. From here on out, like, I have zero respect for Will Smith, and we'll see how I feel about Chris Rock with how he handles this situation, because I don't tend to think of him as a very classy man either. So, but yeah, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch the movies of Will Smith that I used to know and love. Like, 7 Pounds is, Jesus Christ, that's a gut wrencher right there. I'm not going to discount, you know, that I have loved and appreciated his work, but I also, you know, kind of appreciated what he was saying.
I wish they
would have
kept
like
the original ending of 7 Pounds, where the eel crawled up Will Smith's butt and he finds a new appreciation in life.
Oh, yeah, that one. I hear that they took that from a news story involving Richard Gere and a gerbil.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, if you look back, you don't even have to look back that far. Will Smith in the 90s had a big, nice little history of homophobia.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
he was in 7 Degrees of Separation, he said, I don't want, he said, my fans don't want me to act like a fag because they find fags gross.
Yeah, and he refused to do a kissing another male in that movie, even though he signed on and said in the contract he would do it, and
in
the director.
In a real story.
Yeah, in the real story. Oh yeah, and Concussion too. He wouldn't play gay because the doctor in Concussion was gay, and all the hate mail and phone calls he got was because he was gay.
Yeah, and you
oh,
better
it's probably
his
time
life.
For me to reevaluate, you know, my feelings on Will Smith. And
and I'm not woke, but I will call your ass out if you say something bad. And in the 90s on that live album, he said, I want all you dirty women who don't like men to shut up. I want all you weirdos with AIDS, you shut up. And I want all you dirty motherfuckers out, dirty motherfuckers out there to shut up.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not cool. See, and, you know, I'm also not exactly the wokest motherfucker, but when it comes to LGBTQ rights and legislation, I have, since my birth, basically, been a proponent and an ally. I've had lots and lots of, you know, Aunt Stevens and such. And I also have, as you guys may know, I have a child that's part of the community. I do have a non-binary 12-year-old, almost 13 now, very excited about that. And so those are issues that really affect me and my family directly. And if that is the case, which I'm sure it is, then, like I said, it's time for me to reevaluate my feelings.
Oh, I sent the link to Carl, and Carl can send it to you. That easy, right, Carl?
Yeah. No, he will.
Yes, you better.
Oh, yeah. So right now we're going to basically wrap this up. Any last words from everyone? We'll start with Vicki and go around to Stephen and then Rachel.
Last words. I just think that this is more than just a fiasco. I think it hits at the heart of what is wrong with our society these days. And if we're going to allow Will Smith to act like a whining baby and commit violence and break laws, then I don't see our future as bright. And I see only that our young people are being taught all the wrong things. That's it. I'm disappointed and beyond anything. I don't even know if I'll ever be able to watch Independence Day again. But he can go jump off a lake, I mean, jump off the freaking moon before I ever watch the film he won his Oscar for. So that's it.
Okay, Stephen, last words.
To paraphrase a joke from Paul Mooney, now white people are going to have another reason to not want to live next to black people. Oh, you know I can't live by you black people. You know how Will Smith did on the Oscars. We can't live next to you because I'm afraid you'll go Will Smith on me if I say something about your wife.
Well, terrible, just terrible. Anyway, Rachel, any last words?
Sorry, but...
Well, I hope everybody still has their seatbelts on because that was definitely bumpy. Beyond that, no, I think
everyone.
We pretty much covered it all.
Okay, Stephen, real quick, give us give us anything that's coming up on your network and your podcast.
Oh,
what's going on?
Me and Carl are going to be going down there to that little old Starlight Drive-In as usual, and we will be talking about the Canadian Connection. And
yes,
we will get to that tomorrow night as we watch some more trailers and a Canadian sleaze classic that probably hasn't been seen enough, Siege, a.k.a. Self-Defense. And please don't ask me what the movie's about, because just look at the title.
It's a siege. Right.
And I warn you, the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of this movie does not freaking play. It will disturb you.
It disturbed me, and I'm used to this shit, okay? I'm just letting you know. I have previewed the movie.
Yeah.
So coming up on Deviant Legion, all right, so on Saturday, Rachel, why don't you tell us what's going on Saturday since it's down the rabbit hole?
Well, I was thinking that on Saturday – on Down the Rabbit Hole with Rachel and TC and Carl, we could do some of my favorite woodwind artists. Like, you know, we're talking maybe some Kenny G, some Enya.
No, I can't know
you. Oh, fuck. April Fool's, guys. No, we are planning a wonderful, wonderful episode for Saturday that I think you guys are really going to get a kick out of because it's one of my favorite topics, stand-up comedians. You are going to laugh your dicks off. It's going to be so fun. We have so many good ones already put into the system, and I cannot wait because, of course, I am going to blow Carl and TC's minds with my weird selection. Saturday, our normal time for Down the Rabbit Hole, that would be 7 Central, 8 Eastern.
If y'all don't put the Paul Mooney on, I'll burn your station down.
I tell you what, you're going to like my choices. Don't worry about it, Steven. So. On Sunday, TC is going to be doing Rock This Town, and he'll be working on stadium songs and stadium groups. And He does a really, really good show. So you should definitely check
you
in on
too.
That.
You too, Lord. Not you too, Carl. You two are getting into this.
So also, we have other things on the line, but not set in stone yet. But we have some things going on. I know that we're going to be doing a commentary watch on Little Murders with Josh Buckland, who we're going to introduce to everyone. He's our art and design person, but we're also going to get him doing some commentary watches and get him started on doing some podcasts with us as a podcast guest.
Tax Day, Carl?
Not on tax day, not yet. Adam's got something on tax day, but on the 13th, we do have something coming up, and we're very, very happy that author Joe Lansdale is back with us. And Stephen is going to be with us on this one, too, because Stephen actually introduced me to Joe Lansdale. Joe has a new book out.
Name. God.
Joe. Oh, mm-hmm. God. Okay, yes. He has a new book out, Born for Trouble, The Further Adventures of Hap and Leonard. And for those of you who don't know who Joe Lansdale is, he, of course, wrote all the Hap and Leonard books, which was then made into a TV series at Sundance. He also wrote the book that the movie Cold in July is based on. He also wrote Bubba Hotep, an incident on and off a mountain road for Masters of Horror, and of course Bubba Hotep, Don Coscarelli's moment. And he also produced a film which I just watched on Shudder, which I really liked, called The Pale Door. That was the last time he was on. He was on with his son.
Is that about vampire hookers?
No, it's not vampire hookers. They're witches. They're witches. And it's set during the
okay.
It's a Western. So it's set in the 1870s, I think. It's a good film. It's a good film. I would recommend it to everyone. But yes, Stephen and I will be talking again to Joe Lansdale. And there's something that you'll want to say to Joe, right, Rachel?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I will be on the show at least long enough to tell Joe that I am a little hugely fucking disappointed right now. Because the last time we talked, he was promising me a Hap and Leonard cookbook. He comes out with this shit. What? More Hap and Leonard stories? No. I need the Hap and Leonard cookbook, like, yesterday.
What? All Hap would tell you is get you a box of Nilla wafers and some Dr. Pepper.
Well, I mean, I've always got the Dr. Pepper, but I need Hap to tell me that, or no, Leonard, to tell me that in a fucking cookbook. I'm just saying. I will help him with this
and
if he
for the
needs
record,
it.
Leonard Pine is the most badass gay character in books, in literature, in fiction ever.
And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, the beautiful, beautiful man that portrayed Leonard Pine passed away this last year. So, give a little shout out there. We actually talked to Mr. Lansdale right after it happened. So, it's actually a pretty good interview with him. But again, where's my fucking cookbook, Joe?
I'll prep him with this show, guys. I want to thank everyone for coming and sharing with us. I want to thank the audience and our listeners. And now you can unbuckle your seatbelts And please depart the podcast through the open doors. And I think it's about time for all of us to say good night. Shall we say good night?
I'm hopping down the emergency slide I deflated earlier in the show. See you guys. I'm going out the emergency hatch.
I wonder what you think about the two chihuahuas at the bottom of my put for protection.
Okay, good. Okay, Vicki, are you say good night?
Good night, everyone.
It was
all
lovely
right.
being
night,
with
everyone.
You again. Wait, let me say something. It was lovely being with you, Vicki, again on a show with you, Vicki. And Tracy said to wish you the bestest birthdays, and that all of the people at Movie Group, you know which one it is, Vicki.
I know.
We all love
I know,
you very
the best
much.
People.
And they consider your shows the best shows that there is. Yeah, me and Carl have been doing this for longer, but Vicky's the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
Vicki,
you tell Tracy
birthday,
I love
dear.
Her. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I got to go. I have a friend coming over who's bringing me a chocolate birthday cake, so I got to go.
Okay.
So thank
Vicki,
you, Steven.
Happy birthday.
It's for us or I'll cry.
Okay.
Well, don't
all
say
right.
one for Carl.
All right,
don't
folks.
Deserve one, but...
Good night, everyone.
Bueno,
good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.